I'd like to start by reading a few passages in the Bible, starting in the book of Genesis, starting in chapter 6, it's page 7 in my Bible. Genesis chapter 6 and starting from verse 7. And Jehovah said, I will destroy man, whom I have created, from the earth, from man, to cattle, to creeping things, and to fowl of the heavens, for I repent that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of Jehovah. This is the history of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect amongst his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was full of violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is full of violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thyself an ark of gopher wood. With cells shalt thou make the ark, and pitch it inside and outside with pitch. And thus shalt thou make it. Let the length of the ark be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A light shalt thou make to the ark, and to a cubit high shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in its side, with a lower second and third story shalt thou make it. For I, behold, I bring a flood of waters on the earth to destroy all flesh under the heavens, in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall expire. And then in verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month of the 17th day of the month, on that same day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the pour of rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the same day went Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark, they and every beast after its kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and all fowl after its kind, every bird of every wing. And they went to Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, in which was the breath of life. And they that came male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And Jehovah shut him in. And the flood was 40 days on the earth, and the waters increased and bore up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And then in verse 8, and he sent out the dove, that's Noah, from him, to see if the waters had become low on the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and returned to him into the ark, for the waters were on the whole earth. And he put forth his hand, and took her, and brought her to him into the ark. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came to him at eventide, and behold, in her beak was an olive leaf plucked off. And Noah knew that the waters had become low on the earth, and he waited yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, but she returned no more to him. And then verse 8 across the page. And God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living soul which is with you, foal as well as cattle, and all the animals of the earth with you, of all that has gone out of the ark, every animal of the earth. And I establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, and henceforth there shall be no flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the sign of the covenant that I have set between me and you, and every living soul that is with you, for everlasting generations. I set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be for a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring clouds over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living soul of all flesh. And the waters shall not henceforth become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living soul of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said to Noah, This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. I hope you don't mind that I've read a rather large portion of scripture. I've tried to skip to the most important bits. But as I'm sure you'll understand, I've spent a lot of time recently reading stories. And it's really nice, you know, to read a story. But this is an important story. It's an important story because it's familiar to many of us, is the story of Noah's Ark. And it's a wonderful story, you know, because it speaks of salvation. It speaks of being safe. But most importantly of all, it speaks of Jesus. And you might think, what on earth has Noah's Ark got to do with Jesus? You might think, I've read this story, or I've heard it in Sunday school, or I've heard someone speak about it. But maybe you've never thought what Noah's Ark could possibly do with Jesus. I'll try and tell you. The story starts with one simple thought. God looks upon the earth, and what does he see? He sees, Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every thought and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart only evil continually. Someone said to me, I struggle to be good. I want you to think about that. To look inside your own heart and to realize you're a sinner. To realize there is nothing good in you. To realize that not one thing you can do can get you closer with God. There's nothing you can do of yourself to repair that rift between you and God because you are a sinner. It says here, Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. You know, it's not just what we see being done to other people. But it goes on. The thoughts of his heart, only evil continually. You might think that you've done things wrong, but maybe you've thought things wrong. God sees those too, their sins as well. I want you to be very clear, lest you be in any way, in any shape or form or doubt, that your heart is sinful. I'm a sinner and you're a sinner. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the basis, you know, with which we preach the gospel. And you might think, how can there be good news if we start off speaking about sin? Well, you know, you've got to start off with reality. The reality of where your heart is now, because this is a personal message. It's a personal message from Jesus. He wants you, and he wants you to know that he loves you, but you have to start by acknowledging your own heart. And God sees you. He sees exactly where you are. He sees you right here, where you're sat, on your chair, or maybe not, and he sees what you are and who you are, and he sees that you're a sinner. And you might say, well, that's a very sad start. But you know, there is a wonderful joy in the gospel because it speaks of the love of God. And then, what does God do? What does God do in this story? He sends a flood to destroy the earth, everything on it. It speaks of all flesh that has breath. That was the judgment that was sent upon the earth. And in scripture, it also says, the just recompense of sin is death. You know, as sinners, we can expect nothing more, nothing less than death. And you might say, what a terrible thing. But you look around and you see the reality of it. Death is judgment. It's judgment upon all flesh for our sinful natures. And then we see Noah. I want you to imagine what it would be like to be Noah. To be given an instruction by God. Have you ever been told something and you thought, I'm not going to do that? That wasn't Noah. God told Noah to build an ark. And I don't know what his situation was, but I imagine he was very far away from any body of water. And yet here he was given instructions from God to go away, to get lots of wood, and to build an ark in the middle of nowhere. A massive, massive boat. I live in the Midlands. There aren't very many boats in the Midlands. But imagine the thought of having to create something so big, so vast, to hold all these animals, to hold all these people in the middle of nowhere. And you think, what a sign. What a sign that must be to all around. What on earth is this man doing? Why would he be doing this? Why would he be doing this at this time? There's no rain, there's no water. This boat is for nothing. You might say, I don't need to listen to this message. I don't need to look at this ark. I can dismiss this. But dear hearer, you mustn't dismiss the message of God. You mustn't dismiss the message of grace, the message of hope, the message of Jesus. Because it is important, it is precious, and you don't know when the rains will come. I want you to understand that there is an urgency to the gospel. Because there is a need for you to hear it. You don't know when your life might be taken from you. I want you to listen and be very clear that death is coming and you need to listen to what God has to say. I think the most precious words that I've read today are in verse 16 of chapter 7. And they went to Noah into the ark, and Jehovah shut him in. It doesn't say that Noah walked into the ark and shut the door himself. No. God shut him in. I want you to think about that. I want you to understand that when Noah and his family and all those animals went into the ark, that they were perfectly safe. And you might say to me, why? It's because Jehovah shut him in. Not man, God. And I want you to also understand that there was only one door. There was only one way in. There was no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, said Jesus. Jesus is the only way in. The only way into safety. The only way to salvation. I want you to understand that Jesus is who I am talking about tonight. Jesus is the one who we magnify, the one who we look to in our hearts and in our lives, because he came down here. Jesus came down here. What does that mean? God sent his son. John 3:16 is a really good example. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that all whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. That's the humble way that Jesus came into this world, you know. He came in such a lowly way. I've been really affected by that, you know. He came into a manger, born in a stable. He walked upon this earth, spoke to real people, healed people. What love is shown in the pathway of my Savior Jesus? And yet every step took him one step closer to the cross. Because Jesus came here. He came here to die for you. To give his precious blood for you. Because Jesus is the way. Jesus is the one who was lifted up on a cross. It says here, the ark was lifted up above the earth. Just like Jesus, you know. Lifted up above the earth on that cross. Lifted up so everyone could see him. There should be no mistake. Everyone could see that Jesus was on a cross that day. And Jesus suffered and he died. And he did so for you. Why? He did it because that way he could take all your sins upon himself. All your sins, all those sins that would cause you, that would cause you judgment in the coming time. He took them upon himself because he loves you. But you need to go to him. You need to establish a living, personal link with Jesus. You need to go into the ark. That is your responsibility. As hearing the gospel, as hearing these words, you have a responsibility to go to Jesus.
The reason I read about the construction of the ark isn't just the size. It speaks of one window. Just one. There's lots of pictures you might see of the ark, and sometimes they occasionally put windows in the sides. But that's not where the windows were. No. The window was in the roof. Just one single window in the roof of the ark. You might say it's a strange place for a window to be, particularly as it was raining. But there it was. One window. And I think, you know, when judgment came upon the earth, when all that judgment came, those in the ark could not see what happened outside. They couldn't see the judgment. They couldn't see what God meted out. And on the cross, you know, there was 3 hours of darkness. Man could not see judgment meted out on Jesus. And yet, that window reminds us, I think, that when you are in that safe place of salvation, that you can look up and your eyes may behold that you see God and Jesus there. What a wondrous thing it is, you know, to know that when you're safe with Jesus, you have a relationship with God. That you can see Him. That you can be with Him. What a wondrous thing that must be. To have a personal link with Jesus and to know you can enter into the presence of God. What a wondrous thought. What wondrous safety there is in Jesus. What a wondrous place that is. And then finally, the rain stopped. It rained for a very, very long time. But finally the rain stopped. And you know, I'm reminded of the words of Jesus. It is finished. What a wondrous thing. The judgment that fell upon Jesus. He accepted it all. He took it all and the work was finished. You didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to do anything. Jesus did it all. Everything is completed at the cross. Why is that important? Think of the words, it is finished. I want you to think, if you accept Jesus in your heart as your personal Savior, you can enter into this wondrous blessing. This wondrous blessing of knowing your sins have been dealt with. It speaks in Scripture that your sins, though they may be as scarlet, they will be as white as wool. And suddenly you are free. And you might say, what sort of freedom is it? It's free to be with Jesus. It's free to love Him because He has loved you. It's free to know God because He has loved you and sent His Son. That's the freedom that we speak of. To come into a wondrous, glorious blessing of believing, of a relationship with God. Not to go about your old ways. Because as soon as they left the ark, it was a new earth. Everything was new. It wasn't the old place. It was a new place. Wondrous blessing. A relationship with God. The first thing they do upon leaving the ark is they make a sacrifice. Something for Jesus. Something for God. To thank Him for what He has done. And do you feel that, do you know? Do you feel that you have to be thankful for what Jesus has done for you? That God has sent His Son to save you? Do you feel thankful that you have a relationship with Him? Finally, I read just a little passage about a covenant. God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you." Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. And henceforth there shall be no flood to destroy the earth. And I set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be for a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. I want to encourage you, I really do, that every time you see a rainbow, remember this promise. Because it's a real promise and it endures. No matter what the rainbow means today, look at the sky and remember God's promise with man that there will be never more any more judgment like this upon the earth. What a promise. God keeps His promises. And that rainbow is there to remind us of that one simple fact, that if God makes a promise, it endures forever. It never changes. And I want you to know that there is a promise now, a new covenant. A new covenant in the blood of Christ. What a wondrous promise that is. It's a perfect promise. It's an everlasting promise. That if you come to Jesus and put your faith and trust in Him, you will be safe and you will be in a wondrous place of blessing. I would that you would come to know the Savior. Come to know this wondrous place of safety. Come to know Him before it is too late, for His name's sake.